Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. So today's Friday, February 6, 2026, and we are back in the Big Book. There is a solution, and we're on page 18, and we're reading the second paragraph and sharing on it, second and third paragraph. We hope this volume will inform and comfort, and it ends with, then do the psychiatrist and the doctor. All right, our readers. So the steps, we have Gloria B., the traditions, Tenzin P. Reading the text, starting us off and sharing is Tony B. Page 164 is Tina S. The backup reader is Tamara C. Newcomer greeters, Honietta R. Second hour host is Eileen M. And Kathy S. is handling the announcement. Our share ID for yesterday, Thursday, February 5th, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,186. That's 23186. And then the 10 a.m. is 23,187. 23187. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovered from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Gloria B. is going to read the 12 steps and for us today.
Good morning, OA family. Gloria B., compulsive overeater in Missouri. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted God to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
All right there, Gloria. Appreciate it. Next up is Tenzin P. with the traditions.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA name, an OA group, but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Thanks, Gloria. Appreciate your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on a direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back in There's a Solution, and we are on page 18, that second paragraph, starting with, we hope this volume will inform and comfort, ending at the end of the next paragraph, then do the psychiatrist and the doctor. And Tony B is going to start us off. She's going to read and share.
Thanks, Ross. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Thank you, God. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. There are many. Highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. So I love the beginning here, this little paragraph. We hope this volume will inform and comfort. And this is the authors at the time, just 100 of them hoping this, you know, and just look where it's come and how much of that it has done informing and comforting those who, and I guess it means, you know, those who have alcoholism or compulsive overeating in our case, but also those who are who may be affected. I've originally read that like the alcoholics who may be affected but aren't quite sure yet. And I think it's true of them too, because it's quite possible to read this, for a future alcoholic, if you like, and to get this knowledge and to recognize the traits early on, and to be able to stop much sooner than the first 100, you know, to think that terrible experiences that they had to go through, all of the misery, but also those who may be affected. And in the, I think it does mean that, because the previous paragraph was talking about all whose lives touch the sufferers, and it bringing all this misunderstanding and resentment. And so, of course, we've got the family group Al-Anon that's come out of this. And from this very volume too, although I'm not sure that they have their own literature, I know that, but certainly many, many have been informed and comforted. And informed of what? Well, that we're sick, that this is a real thing, you know, it sets us apart, probably 1 in 10 of us suffer. And what a bit of what wonderful information to have, the nature of our disease, and then the comfort that we're not alone. The book is saying, we understand you, we know how it's been for you, and we've got a solution. Amazingly, we have a solution. So why, I wondered, why don't we want to discuss our situation with psychiatrists and friends and family members? I think for me, you know, it's the meeting with misunderstanding. It's not being taken very seriously in the case of food anyway. You know, I've had sort of people laughing and saying, me too, I can't stop eating, you know, I know what it's like, but just with a kind of laugh. But also sometimes I think I've wanted to protect my disease, and I fear that if I'm honest, I'd have to stop, and I just wasn't ready to stop. But I think there's also something about feeling very awkward and strange, and like there's something very, very wrong deeper within me that I was not even able to describe. And I think in the talking to friends and
parents
and things, I felt very ashamed, and I wanted to hide it, and that's why I didn't express. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling in from. I'll let you know exactly where we're at throughout the meeting. And have at it. Who wants to get on here?
Janet A.
Tanya D. from Illinois.
Okay. Mary B.
Rivka.
Mary W. Okay. All right. I got Mary, Rivka. And Tina. Tina, that's who. Okay. Mary. All right. Mary, Rivka. All right. Janet, I got you.
Carrie W.
Tina. Okay. Got you. Janet. Sorry. I got the broken ears today. And Terry W. All right. Let me see what I'm doing here. I got Mary. I think from the UK. Rivka R. Tina S. Janet B. Terry W. Who else?
Danny P.
Danny. Awesome.
Thank you, Russ.
Who else? You guys are taking it easy on me today. All right. I think that was Mary B. So... All right, let's go with this. Mary B., Rivka R., Tina S., Janet B., Terry W., and Danny P. All right, Mary, you up.
Oh, can I be heard?
I got you. You are coming through loud and clear.
Great, thank you. Lovely, thank you. My name's Mary. I'm a compulsive eater in the UK, and I'm very grateful for everybody who's making the meeting possible and providing service. And the over 100 always makes me feel in awe of this solution and not alone. And that was a very, very important thing for me. It is a very, very important thing for me in my recovery from compulsive eating. And as has been shared, I feel it is the I recovered in AA 18 years ago, and the food has been such a slower burn for me. And most recently I have what I hope Bill talks about when he says it's his last debauch elsewhere in the book. I really do hope that the level of surrender and peace that I feel now with knowing that this is my solution for what I have previously felt has been dismissed, or I felt very not necessarily always not able to surrender, but not able to really take seriously because of the views of others, and feeling quite frightened about that, and very abnormal again, and knowing that I have a common solution with fellows who think like me, eat like me, and do I eat like Bill Drank? Yes, I do. And do I have hope in this common solution? Yes, I do. And I think that's all I have to share today. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to connect. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Next up is Rifka R, followed by Tina S.
Hi, good morning. Rifka R, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. I totally related to this reading today. I would not be honest with medical doctors, especially the time when I had binged and my stomach spasmed and they thought I had some kind of pancreatitis, and it was from the binge, but I absolutely, you know, could not be honest about what I had done. But I did go to like psychologists and a psychiatrist and even a psychic, like, you know, and, you know, I think I was honest with my problem, but, you know, the psychologist tried to find the reasons I overate, and the psychiatrist tried medication, and the psychic told me I was actually totally cured after the session, which only lasted until the next time I ate. But anyway, and it says, just strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us more unapproachable. So my mother took me to the doctor at 12 years old for diet pills, and she paid repeatedly for Weight Watchers. And, you know, when she made comments like, you know, you don't need to eat that, and my friends are asking me, like, how I could let you get like that, like, I would just get so angry and resentful, like, I hated her. And, you know, thank God my husband never made negative comments about my weight, but when we were first married and I was making negative comments about my body, and, you know, yet again, he said, you know, you talk about yourself a lot. I got so angry and resentful. I hated him. I completely shut down, and I couldn't even look at him for days, you know, because I had no clue the depth of this disease in me. Like, I couldn't hear how right his words were. You know, in the paragraph before, when it talks of the annihilation of all the things worthwhile in life, it's so true. Because what's worthwhile in life? You know, connection, loving relationships, being able to be present and be of service, you know, having a joy inside, knowing I'm fulfilling the mission God created me for, however imperfectly, but at least I'm going the right direction, and not having my life be only about me and mine and I want more. You know, just last week, one of my daughters was talking about her childhood, and she said, I always knew when you weren't working your program because I didn't feel safe. When you were working your program, things were good. And when you weren't working your program, things were bad. You know, and I just, that's so, so sad. Like, I put the people I love most through so much. This disease really does engulf all whose lives touch the sufferers. But the good news is that recovery also touches all the lives of all who live these 12 steps. And I have no words to express the depth of my gratitude that I don't have to live in that dark, dark place where I can't hear the truth and I can't live in alignment with that truth. So thank you so much, everybody, for being on the line, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Awesome. Tina S is up, followed by Janet B. Thanks, Rifka.
Thanks so much, Russ, for your service. Tina S, recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. And, the last couple paragraphs that the two that we read today and the one from yesterday really resonate with me. You know, when I first came into the rooms and I started reading the book, I just was reading the book. But when I really started to study the book, you know, the previous paragraph that we read yesterday really resonated with me. You know, growing up, you know, my mom was in and out of mental institutions all my growing up years, and she was either 300 pounds or she was 80 pounds, you know, and I don't know that I even recognized how she ate, you know, because of all the other stuff that was going on in my life. But what I do know is everybody thought that, you know, she should just get a grip. You know, if she, you know, she could just do this, you know, on her own. And that's what I heard growing up. So certainly, you know, I wasn't telling many people about what was going on with me. And I know that it affected people in my life. But, you know, luckily, the first time I went to see a psychologist, they told me I needed to go to OA. You know, not that that was when I got abstinent, but, you know, but I didn't go see one until I was like almost 30 years old. So, you know, I do have a history, a long history of food addiction in my life, and knowing that, you know, finally, and I love that just the previous share with, you know, there is a solution today, you know, and that part in the previous paragraph, which says, "For with it goes annihilation of all the things worthwhile in life, engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers, and so does recovery." And that has happened in my life. You know, the good news is, and like was just shared, you know, that one day at a time, I'm free. You know, if I no longer put those alcoholic foods in my body, you know, and I stay centered in the 12 steps, which gives me a spiritual awakening and a transformation, I am no longer that same person. I no longer have to do those same things. And today, you know, I can be help for the people that are in my life, you know, and not always, you know, because I'm still selfish and self-centered. I just am. That's who I am, you know, at the core. But I have a program today that helps me to get out of me so that I can be more of service to you. And that's what I, you know, that's why I come here every morning. You know, that's why, you know, that's why I go to meetings. You know, that's why I hang out with people in recovery, because I need you to show me how to do this thing one day at a time without eating. You know, I'm also in another 12-step program. So how can I be free today? You know, I get those alcoholic foods plus alcohol for me out of my system one day at a time, and I got a shot. You know, I got a shot at living this life that I can be happy, joyous, and free today. And when I first got here, I thought they were all blowing smoke, you know, that they were happy, joyous, and free. And today, you know, I experience those things. So with that, I'll pass. Great stuff.
Thanks, Tina. Appreciate it. Next up is Janet B., followed by Terry W.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. It's Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So that line, what they hope this book would do, inform and comfort the alcoholic, for us, the compulsive eaters. So that's kind of telling me that as a sponsor, someone trying to help someone struggling, I really have two things I have to focus on, informing and comforting, giving correct information, and really love. When I first went to OA, I got a lot of love. The people really, I believe my sponsor really cared about me. The people really cared about me, but I didn't get correct information. It was like, take two food plans and call me in the morning for your 15-minute slot and, you know, stick to this food plan. Well, that's not our solution, a magic bullet food plan. It's kind of like someone with diabetes going to a doctor, and the doctor's so nice and says, the solution to your diabetes is penicillin. Right? They wouldn't get better, even though the doctor really cared about them and the person really tried. So I have an obligation to give correct information. Like, what is the correct information? First, I think to define our problem, and it tells us in We Agnostics, age 45, lack of power. That was our dilemma. That was our problem. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. And they say, that's what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So that was my problem, and that's the solution. And for 6.5, 7 years, nobody sat down and told me that the solution was God, and that through these 12 steps, I could have a relationship with God, a proper relationship. I had always believed in God, but I was treating him like some cosmic genie, like, God, make this boy like me, or make it not rain on a day when I want to go to the beach, and then go back in your bottle and leave me alone. That's a relationship, right? I'm the master, he's the servant. But the big book teaches me, has taught me how to have a proper relationship with God. And it's beautiful the way they tell us our relationship has to be. It's that he is the principal, we are his agent. That means he has work for me to do. What's his work, right? Well, in the doctor's opinion, it tells us that he's recreating lives. I can be an agent and help him with that. And then it says, he is the father and we are his children. Like, I am a daughter. I am a child of the creator of the universe who flung the stars. And he's got things for me to do. Clean up the wreckage of my path. Help others. Try and connect with him through meditation. That's what this book informs me of, and which I hopefully inform others. And comfort. We are supposed to be friends. Sometimes people say, I'm not your friend, I'm your sponsor. I mean, really? If my sponsee gets a flat tire, does that mean I'm not going to, like, if she lives locally, go and help her? So inform and comfort. I pass.
All right, Janet, thank you. Next up is Terry W., followed by Danny P.
Good morning, everyone. This is Terry W. from Massachusetts, and I'm recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and restrictor. This is a great paragraph, and I get so many different things out of it. You know, it starts, we hope this volume would inform and comfort those who are or who may be affected. And what jumps up out for me is that psychologists find it impossible for us to discuss such a situation. Well, if we go back to the doctor's opinion on XX1X and we read Dr. Silksworth's letter, it just reiterates that we physicians must admit the problem as a whole may not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. So I've been to psychologists, and I think the first one I went to said, you need to be institutionalized. The second one, I mean, I have a psychology degree, so I said everything they didn't want to hear, and so the psychologist never, ever worked for me. I could never be honest or never tell them, you know, an honest sentence. But when I came into this program, it was amazing. It was like a revelation. I can talk to other people in this program. I can be honest. I can tell them what's going on. I can tell them what I'm afraid of, what I'm grateful for. And I have the ability to communicate. I could never communicate before this program. And what a gift is that, huh? It works. It really works. So I just wanted to just say this program has saved my life and given me that capability to be honest and to talk about what I'm really feeling. So I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Next up is Danny P., and we're going to take another list. Danny P., star one.
Hi. Good morning, Ross. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, visionaries. I'm Danny P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and God's mercy. And because of this book, because 3 years and 6 months ago, I became a big book student. And what stands out for me here is what this book gave me. This book gave me information and comfort. Not only information, it gave me accurate information, precise information. I needed to be informed on the exact nature of my illness. This book taught me that I have an illness of the body. I have an allergy, an abnormal reaction to my binge foods. My body demands more when I ingest them. The only solution for this allergy is entire abstinence. But in this illness, my mind is also affected. My mind is subject to obsession and delusion. I cannot perceive reality. I cannot learn from my previous experiences. And the solution for the illness of the mind is to implement the steps entirely abstinent. And I wish this was my only problem, a hopeless state of mind and body. But in this illness, my will is affected. Despite my best efforts to change my behavior, my will does not work. And the problem is that my will is based on self. And this book informs me that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. I'm always fighting. I'm always in collision with something, somebody. So I have an illness of the body, an illness of the mind, an illness of the will. It's evident that an illness of this magnitude can only lead to massive destruction, to the annihilation of all the things worthwhile in life. And for this illness, there is only one solution, a spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps entirely abstinent. And hopefully, if I do that, I will not increase this list of people I have harmed. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, Danny, thank you very much. So we're going to take another list. And although we value experience, we have to limit your share to every third day. So I need your first name, first initial of last name, where you're calling in from. One at a time, please. Who's up?
Chanel T. Washington.
Chanel. Is that Chanel G?
T, like Thomas.
All right, got you. Thank you.
In Washington.
Got it.
Ken WH.
Ken, my man.
Lee H.
All right, Lee. Who else? We could take a bunch more, I think. Maybe four or five more if you like. Who else? All right, so we'll go with these three and then we're going to take more after that. Chanel T, Ken WH, and Lee H. And there's a solution, page 18, second paragraph, starting with, we hope this bond will inform and comfort, ending with, then due to psychiatrist and the doctor. All right, Chanel, you're up.
Great. Thanks so much, Russ. Thank you for your faithful service. I'm Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. You know, it's funny, one of the things that I love about this book, there are many, saves my life every day, but one is that certain words will stick out at different points, and I'll be like, well, I don't remember that being there. I do remember it, but I don't remember it sticking out for me. Of course, in form, and comfort. Getting into that next paragraph, strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. So at the time this was written, we know that alcoholism was not understood by the masses at all. Not that it's ever really understood by a non-addict, it's not. But at least it's accepted pretty widely that alcoholism is an addiction. You'll hear people say that. They might not think of that as a disease, but they think of it as an addiction. They accept that. And if someone uses heroin, that would be similar. Cigarettes, similar. Food, not so much. Not so much. So when it talks about unapproachable, if I'm coming to family or friends about this and I say something, they don't get it. They don't get it. My family doesn't suffer from this particular addiction, so they have others. But they don't get it. So there's really no point in them approaching me or me approaching them about it. And that felt very isolating and lonely, frankly. Not to say that I wanted to admit that I'm powerless over food, my life had become unmanageable, that I have a disease. I didn't want to, and so I didn't with doctors either. And I'm not sure that most of them and my therapist would have understood anyway. I don't think they could. And I want to always acknowledge that because you do get me here. You understand. and I get you on a level that most folks, including most of the medical community, do not at this point get. And this book works for us as well as it works for alcoholics. How miraculous is that? It's right here in black and white for me. How to find the solution, which is my higher power working as I work the steps. My higher power does everything for me that I cannot do for myself, which includes a solution, not a cure, but a solution so that I can live in recovery, live in the promises. It's an incredible thing. So even though spouse, parent, intimate friends don't get me on this level, this book does. The people who wrote it did. Thank God for Dr. Silkworth, Dr. Young, others who did. Yes, thank you. And you do. It helps me so much so I no longer feel alone. With that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
All right, Chanel, thank you very much. Next up is Ken W. H., followed by Lee H.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. All I can think about whenever the questions or the thing is raised about doctors trying to help us and psychiatrists and psychologists is that somebody once told me, how do you know when an alcoholic is lying? And the answer is when his lips are moving. And I have to realize that all the times I spent with counselors trying to get me fixed, they didn't have the information they needed to do it. It's because I didn't give it to them. Ask me a question and I'd lie. I couldn't tell the truth. I didn't know how to tell the truth. I was living the life of an imposter. I was sick. I was diseased. I had compulsive overeating as an illness, and it made me lie. So how could anybody help me if all I was giving them was misinformation? They couldn't even have compassion because they didn't know when I was telling the truth, whether I was or I wasn't. So I give them all the credit in the world for sitting and listening to people like me, over and over and over again, and me writing the checks and paying for it and still lying because I wasn't ready and I wasn't able to tell the truth at that point. I needed intervention from a power greater than myself that could solve the problem. But the only one who could solve the problem was the one with the information about what the problem was, and that one turns out to be the God of my understanding. Hallelujah. I'm thankful and grateful to be on the line today. Y'all have a great day. Thanks, Russ. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Next up is Lee H., and then we're going to take another list.
Okay. Thank you so much, Russ, for your service this morning. This is Lee H. in Tennessee, and what a great meeting. So many good shares this morning. I think back on my history. I first got into Al-Anon because my parents were alcoholics, and I became knowledgeable, you know, at that point about the addiction and about my problem of being, you know, raised with two alcoholic parents and having to survive that. And really, I didn't understand my illness of food addiction until I came into these rooms and realized that the real crux of the matter is my self-will and learning that I am powerless, totally powerless over this disease, and learning what the basis of the illness is. It's the allergy and the mental twist, and really just understanding that the only there was not anything of myself that was going to work. And so, you know, this is, it's just such a great, I started to say novel. This is a study guide And it's just really interesting to study it with all of you and just learning that my problem really was the lack of power. And it's just a miracle that, you know, this book and with the fellowship that my higher power has used all of that to be able to get to the real power was my God, the God of my understanding. And, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to share with each other and really help introduce other people to the basis of the illness. And there's so many that don't understand, and my family doesn't understand. And, you know, they'll say, how do you do it? How do you maintain your weight? And really, the only answer I have is God. But, you know, that doesn't, there's a whole disconnection between that for them. And so really I'm so blessed to have all of you that understand and the God of my understanding. It's wonderful. So thanks so much. I'll pass.
All right, Lee. I think we could take four more shares. Who would like to share?
Alice W.
Alice.
Cheryl L., Florida.
Cheryl L. Let's get two more. Let's close it out. Don't be shy.
Evelyn S., Florida.
Evelyn. You know, let's leave it there. And if we got time, we'll bang it out. So we got Alice W., Cheryl L., and Evelyn S. All right, Alice, you're up.
Hi, I'm Alice W. from North Yorkshire in the UK. Can I be heard?
Perfectly.
Okay, great. Great meeting. Love this Vision for You meeting. Thank you. And to all who do service for it. And funny enough, I'm on... there is a solution in my steps, step two at the moment. And a week ago, I rang in the morass of self-pity and all the, you know, absolute on the floor on my knees. And a week, just over a week later, I've done all the things, you know, because at that time I shared that, you know, when I don't open the doors, when I don't do the actions, guess what? It doesn't work. It, you know, I'm back in the disease again and again and again. And I've done the things. I'm doing all the things. And guess what? It works. It's working. So I just want to share that because it's hope. And also, I've had all the self-knowledge. Like, I know about addiction. Like, I know all the things, everything that I've done so much research, reading, you know, and even the big book, you know, there's a lot of information, but the information is, does not get me well. And it is that realization and dropping inside that I have no power. That's my problem. I have ultimately, I can have all the understanding, but my main understanding I need to get is that I am powerless. I have no power. That's my problem. And obviously in this chapter, you know, there is a solution. And that solution is God. And, you know, there was a little paragraph. You know, when you read little paragraphs and you feel like you've read the big book, you've read lots of bits, but every time I read it, it's like for the first time. And there was something about we either go through to the bitter end, you know, and that's in all the things like relationships, you know, fighting to the bitter end with my disease, fighting with relationships, food, everything, or we accept spiritual help. And I love that, accepting spiritual help, because otherwise, when I run the show and do it my way, it's a disaster. It's a train wreck, like anyone who heard me a week ago. And I just really hope to continue at it. And I know that if I do it or do all the actions, you know, because we're powerless, but not helpless. So we can, if we do the things and get help, you know, it works. And so I'm really enjoying step two. It's one of my favorite steps, just getting really feeling connected to God. And thank you. Bye. I've gone over. Cheers. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Alice. Next up is Cheryl L., followed by Evelyn X.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Very, very grateful to be on the line, be back with all of you after my travels. Really appreciate the shares this morning and appreciate being able to look at this paragraph very closely. You know, when I look at the paragraph that precedes it, and I have, you know, have some notes about, you know, how has my illness affected those about me? You know, I stop and think about everything that my father tried to do, you know, to help me with my weight. He really encouraged me to practice moderation. He really encouraged me to get physical exercise, and I couldn't, and I just couldn't do it. You know, he was trying to treat the symptom. He wasn't trying to, he didn't understand, you know, that there were underlying causes. You know, food was my friend. Food was my companion. I was a very, very shy girl, and I had a lot of issues growing up. So you know, coming forward into the paragraph that we read today, you know, I was in the program, the beverage program, for many, many years, and I didn't see that I needed to take that program and apply it to my food. Way I really, you know, gave it a good try. I worked the steps, but not using the big book, and I tried to substitute. I tried to say, well, I'm working a good program with this other, you know, addiction, so that should be enough. And it really wasn't. You know, what I had to do was I had to, you know, really buckle down and look at my disease, you know, from a different perspective. You know, that you know, my food was an issue, and I had to address it with all of the earnestness that I had addressed the beverage issue. So that's what I'm getting kind of out of this reading today. I definitely was embarrassed about my weight. I was ashamed. I went through periods of denial when I thought I could be in control again, and that brought me out into the food for a period of 4 years. And by God's grace and by this meeting and by the help of a lot of you, you know, I've been able to stay abstinent today for more than 3 years. And I don't take that for granted, not one single minute. You know, I've been away traveling for the past couple of weeks. And honestly, it was a wonderful experience, but I am so grateful to be back home, to be with my meetings, to be with my big book, be able to sit and listen to you all every day at this time, and to learn, because I still have a lot of learning I need to do. So thanks for letting me share and letting me claim my seat this morning. Take care.
All right, thanks, Cheryl. Appreciate it. Next up is Evelyn S. And we might be able to get one more. I don't know, maybe two. Who knows?
Hi, I'm Evelyn S. from Florida, compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing at this meeting, so can people even hear me? I don't know if I unmuted correctly.
You're great. You're doing awesome.
Oh, okay, thanks. Well, I wanted to share because of something someone said about that was really helpful to me in this meeting, which is how valuable it is to have a meeting like this that's so focused on the big book and the solution as outlined in the big book. I do go to a wonderful OA meeting full of really loving, kind people who are super supportive, but there's no mention in that meeting of the big book. No one is talking about the steps, and it's easy for me to feel alone in that group. I feel a wonderful connection because I know we share the same illness and these are people who understand me. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm sharing in the solution that works with these people. So I just wanted to thank this meeting because it's giving me hope. I am working the steps in the big book. I'm in my fourth step. in my third column, but it's so helpful that every morning I can hear you all talk about, and I know you've done it. I can tell that the promises have come true for you. I can tell that your life is transformed, and it helps me believe that it's going to work for me too. And with that, I'll pass.
All right, everyone, I appreciate it. We have time for one more share. Who would like to share on this? And don't be shy.
This is Angela S. in Arkansas. I'd like to share.
Go for it.
All right. Hey, this is Angela in Arkansas. Grateful to be here. Compulsive overeater. I'm working step two as well with my sponsor. And so this, we're reading the AA 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, the big book. And we just read this together yesterday. So it's fresh on my heart, fresh on my mind. And what we've, some analogies that have been working for me is like the analogy of the cell phone is, you know, I need to charge my cell phone every day, and that concept I really get. And thinking about it for myself is similar. I have definitely a forgetful disease, and I can forget that power is my higher power. It's not going to come from self-will or from the many books I've read from different doctors, and it's the source is here. It's OA. This is my higher power just for today. And filling myself up with source first is where my mindset is. And that's a new place for me in my recovery. That if I want to leave my ego out and leave, you know, that knowledge not to be my higher power, then it's coming here, it's suiting up, it's showing up, filling myself, my soul with the solution. And having to do that one day at a time. And if I don't keep doing the work, not doing the work is a lot harder than doing the work. And I'm learning that. I've been a hard-headed, compulsive overeater. So just for today, grateful for this meeting, grateful for the service, and I'm going to keep charging up my soul one day at a time. With that, I'll pass.
All right, thank you, Angela. We actually got time for like a 2-minute share. Who would want it?
My name is Sue from Michigan.
Go ahead. You got.
I just wanted to say I really appreciate this meeting in the morning. I was up early yesterday and today, and I got on, and it's really a good meeting, and I feel like nobody understands a compulsive overeater unless they are one. And so that's what makes the meeting so great, is because the people do understand. My family thinks I'm just hard on myself and stuff. It's just so crazy. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here. Thanks, Russ, and I'll pass.
Russ, you're muted.
I'm over here talking. Sue, please let me know what the first initial of your last name is, if you can. Appreciate it.
It's M.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Yep. All right. Sue is going to be our last share. And please stick around. Well, thank you to everybody, Sherry, part of this meeting did service. Please stick around for a second unrecorded hour of study, immediately following the closing. And today's share ID, today's Friday, February 6, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,189. And now, Tina S. is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we're going to pray to Serenity Prayer.
Thanks, Russ. TNS, Recovered Compulsive Eater, Anorexic. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.